There are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power. Hello and welcome to a new episode of WEN Power Podcast. I am really excited about my new guest for this 27th episode of WEN Power Podcast. I would like to welcome Fanny Snaith, a certified money coach, business owner, a self-made millionaire, and she's strongly passionate about helping us understand our emotions and behaviors around how to earn, spend, and save money. Thank you so much, Fanny, for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here.
Would you like us to discover more about yourself? Can you tell us a little bit more about who is Fanny, your story, and you know why you are a money coach today?
Oh, okay. Gosh, that's like quite a lot of stuff. So who am I? So first of all, I'm a mum, first and foremost, of two gorgeous daughters who are now 21 and 17. I live in London. I don't live in London. I live in England in a place called Cheltenham with my husband and my two cats as well, which is really lovely. And I became a money coach in 2015 after having a bit of a midlife crisis. So why did I become a money coach? Well, I thought back in 2015 that I was really good with money because I had collected over £1 million. And the reason I collected, and I use the word collected very strongly, the reason I collected £1 million is on paper. I'm not talking about cash in the bank. So we're talking net worth, which a lot of people will roll their eyes and go, well, what does that mean exactly? But the reason I collected £1 million is because I set an intention, probably the most important financial decision I ever made in my life at the age of 10 years old. And I did that because I was very angry when I was 10 years old. I remember when I made the decision, I was standing in the dinner queue at my new school. I'd gone there early. I'd skipped a year of school because I had to leave my last school very quickly. I was standing in the free school meals dinner queue, waiting for my free school dinner, not knowing anybody, with the other girls and boys looking at me going, who's she? Thinking that I was posh and rich because of the way that I spoke, and thinking, we haven't got any money whatsoever. And I'm really angry about my situation because it was very different just a few months before. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And at that moment, I was so angry and felt so awkward that I vowed that I would never have anybody else look after me financially, that I would become financially independent and that I'd become a millionaire. And what I found was setting an intention like that. If you really, really set your heart on something, you can do it. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a strategy. It took me way longer than it should have done if I'd been brave enough and asked other people to help. But nevertheless, it was a decision that I made. The reason that I made it was because I came from originally a wealthy family. My mum inherited wealth. She unfortunately wasn't so good with the old husbands, and she was married and divorced three times by the time I was 12. And all of those marriages were based on money. My dad was very much came from a middle class family, and he wrote everything down, and everything had to be listed on who spent what, and all had to be fair. And He earned good money, but he walked around in trousers with holes in because everything was perfectly adequate. We didn't need to buy new, etc. And yet my mum, who had inherited quite a lot of money since just before I was born, just wanted to spend. So I had a spender as a mum and a perfectly adequate, everything's make, do and mend dad. So that was that. My second stepfather, the second marriage, was not a very nice man, and things weren't so cool at home then. So mum decided to pack us off to boarding school. So off I went with my sister, and we left what we thought was a lovely, beautiful home. You know, just a feeling of wealth, just that feeling of wealth within myself and my family. And when I got to boarding school, it was like I became the pauper overnight compared to the people that were at that boarding school. And that was interesting because it dented my self-worth. It dented who I thought that I was, and was interesting. Anyway, 3 years there, obviously you get used to it, and it was fine. And by the which time my mum was on to her third marriage, where she married her bank manager. And everything was going to be fine because obviously he earned well and mum had been spending quite a lot. So the coffers were going down a bit. Anyway, a year into the marriage, he was blackmailed. He gave all of our money to an East End gangster. It was all pretty unpleasant and we had to leave boarding school very quickly. And hence, that's how I ended up in the free school meals queue at boarding school. Anyway, so why did I become a money coach? I thought I was pretty good with money. But when that million, that seventh digit came on our bank, on our statement, our net worth statement, nothing happened, Ilaria, nothing happened. And it was like, oh my God, that was, everything was supposed to change. Bells were supposed to ring, flags were supposed to be waving, and everything was supposed to be great, and nothing changed. And my husband and I actually realized that we were quite miserable, really. So that was interesting. Then at the same time, I had my midlife crisis because I was around my 50th birthday, really wanted to give up my job, which is what I'd done from home, looking after the girls as they were growing up, wanted to get out from behind the screen. So I decided to become a money coach because I could teach people how to manage their money on a practical level. And it was only when I started, sorry, the answer's long, but you're going to get it all right. when I started teaching people how to put figures in the beautiful spreadsheets that I had designed with colours and columns and all this kind of stuff, professional people who earned well, paid me well to help them with it, just weren't doing it. They would maybe try for a couple of weeks, but then they just wouldn't, they wouldn't carry on. And I was thinking, this is odd. So it made me realise then that it's not the ability of being able to manage your money, it's what's the psychology of stuff that goes on there. And I ended up at the Money Coaching Institute in America to train to be a certified money coach. And it was there that actually I probably began my journey of learning as well, and realizing that just collecting money so that you have it all sitting in the bank account or whatever, it through fear, because that's basically why I collected it, because I didn't want to be poor. I was doing very much an away from motivation rather than thinking if I do this, I can buy myself, get myself freedom, time and all this kind of thing. Yeah, I'd done it all the wrong way around. So from that point onwards, I decided to change my view of money, and rather than be dragged through life like it being a little bit of a burden that you endure, I thought, how about we change it into a bit of an adventure? So we approach it, we explore it with curiosity. I'm not saying it's like Dora the Explorer. I don't know if you know who Dora the Explorer
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not saying it's like Dora the Explorer. It's very often like Indiana Jones, you know, running down a corridor with a big fireball behind you. And then you might see, find at the end of it, a nest of vipers that you've got to dive into. And, you know, it's not always pleasant, but just that whole approach of approaching your money differently, I find really helps me and other people that I work with. And so that's what I do now. I focus on approaching money in a different way, because if we carry on approaching it in the same way that we always have, I'm rubbish with money, I hate money, money's hard, money doesn't grow on trees, I'm not deserving, blah, 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 you're never gonna change. So that's it, that's my mission.
Well, thank you for sharing your story and your upbringing with us. Why do you think it's that difficult to talk about money, and why the relationship with money is that difficult?
Okay, so I think one of the reasons why it's very difficult to talk about money is because we all think about it very differently. And we all have different values and we all have different opinions and we all have different feelings and emotions about it. So when it comes to money, we have to remember that money is just a medium of exchange. Essentially, it's just a tool. And we think that we have problems with money, but we don't. What we have problems with is the exchange of money, because that's where the problems start, right? They start when you have to start giving it and receiving it. Just sitting on a table, it doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So it's about giving it and receiving it. And that's where the emotions and the feelings are attached to. And when it comes to money, those emotions and those feelings, which, yes, we have them with money, but they generally within our own ego, personality, persona, etc. What happens is they get magnified when it comes out in money. And because other people are different, and because we are living in a world of judgment where we compare ourselves, there's no way that we're ever going to stop judging, right? We're creatures of judgment. That's how we gauge where we are. And it's for anybody who says that they can live in a world without judgment or comparison, I don't think they're telling the truth, because we do it subconsciously to just go, okay, it's like that sort of just finding out that benchmark, just work that little radar to work out where we are. Obviously, some people do it more than others. But anyway, so we find it difficult to talk about because we all think and feel about it very differently. We all believe that maybe other people are better than us when it comes to money. And 9 times out of 10, they probably aren't. Our relationship with our money comes from our parents. And both of our parents are two different people who both had two different upbringings. So whatever they taught you about money, you're going to get two different opinions. So look at my mum and dad. My mum just had money thrown at her. She wasn't parented. She just had money thrown at her when she was little. So she didn't really understand much about money apart from the fact that it's just, you know, that, you know, this is how I receive love. This is how I get this. Whereas my dad was like writing everything down. So what am I going to come out of with that? One minute I'm going to be going, oh no, we've got to really write everything down and make everything really, you know, make it all very precise and don't spend too much money on this. And then the next minute I'm going, hey, let's go out and spend some money on something that I really don't need. Because those are the messages that we get in our heads from our parents. And that's how we develop our money relationship from what was going on in our early childhood.
So it's just basically a matter of we develop some unconscious bias regarding money, and it comes from our peers, our family, like you said. And I think about my generation and younger generation with social media, with everything we see online, and we think, oh, that person get it all. And it's just because there is a fancy 3-4 pictures on his profile or her profile and make you think, okay, he has it all, I don't have it. So it's we are constantly under some inputs that don't really help this relationship and this
Exactly. And, you know, you can also say that, and this is where it gets, you know, we create our own little tunnels of reality, right? We look at past experiences, we look at where we are now, we look at what's happening right now, and then we create our future reality based on the experiences of the past. And the trouble is, it's not even that straightforward because they just get mixed up. So, you know, something might be said to us, or something might, you know, a feeling might come up, or a situation might happen. And it's not necessarily the truth of that situation, it's how it's perceived. Mm-hmm. It's not even necessarily reality in the past. I've got so many stories from people who have, you know, have practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced a feeling and emotion that was had the seed planted when they were a little person, from a situation that isn't even true.
I
can give you an example of that if you want to, which might help other people. So I was talking to a lady once and she came online and she said to me, I'm really stressed this morning because I've had to apply for this government grant because it was during lockdown and she had a premises and they gave £10,000 to people who had premises right at the beginning. She said, I've applied for this and I filled out the form as best I can, but I know I'm not going to get it. And I went, oh, how come? She said, well, I always miss out on stuff. I was like, oh, that's a belief. Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, honestly, it's true. I always miss out on things. You can ask my husband and everything. So I said to her, well, when was the first time that you feel that you missed out on stuff? She goes, I know exactly when it was. It was on my 18th birthday and I was supposed to get an inheritance and I didn't get it. And I was going, okay, but I'm going to challenge. I challenged her on it. I say, I think, could you spend a little bit of time going back and seeing, I want to, it's earlier. It's much earlier than that. And she thought about it and she came up. She goes, do you know what? I'm on it. She said when she was 5 years old, her grandma gave her a silver locket. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. She was so chuffed to bits with it. And she overheard her mum in the kitchen talking on the telephone or to somebody, I don't know who they were talking to. And her mum was saying, well, I'm a bit cross because why has my daughter got a silver locket when her cousin got a gold locket that's so much better than the one we got? And she overheard that. And that's when the seed was planted of her missing out on stuff. And she practiced that, oh, that disappointment. Oh, I'm not going to get stuff. I'm going to miss out on stuff. She practiced it over and over and over and over again. She was a 60-year-old woman. That takes a lot of conscious awareness to then flip that around. But once you know it, once you can be conscious and aware of it, you can do it. But you need to know and you need to see it. And sometimes we don't see things that are very close to our faces, do we? That when we're
true.
Objective, we need to get that objective view.
We need sometimes maybe just an external perspective on the situation, because as you say, if we create our own tunnel of vision, that's all we are familiar with. So whatever is out of that vision, we will not see it. We need someone that is going to push it a little bit our way to be like, okay, so then now I'm aware and I can, you know, I can make a change. In your experience, did you not, because you work with individuals, but you also work with couples, you work with people of different ages. Did you notice if there is any difference when it comes to gender? So between men and women and the relationship we have with money?
Well, I know that if you look in the financial press or if you look in, you look at statistics, there is a huge difference between men and women. However, I prefer to move past that because I think that we have to accept that historically men have taken the reins financially. And that many, many women, especially in different cultures, different countries, religions, cultures, etc., there are very, very different roles when it comes to money, and also different roles that money has in different genders' lives. So I think we have to accept that generally men are seen as taking the reins when it comes to finances. But in my experience as a money coach, and the people that come to me, what I find is the people that are asking for help generally are heart-centered. So I love working with men when it comes to money. And I think that sometimes men get a little bit of a hard time when it comes to money because they are expected to know what's going on. They're expected to be able to be the good investor, take the wise choices. Whereas women, I think, are able to approach it from a more innocent, well, I don't know kind of way. It's a bit like the same thing of people from financial services who work as accountants or tax advisors or financial advisors, etc., who are challenged because it is believed that they should be good with money. But actually, in reality, there is absolutely no reason why they should be any better than anybody else, just because they have been taught how to put money in boxes, figures in boxes, and what products do well, or et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't change their psychology when it comes to managing their money on a personal level. It really doesn't. And I love coaching people from financial services as well, because if they're brave enough to come to me and feel that they can trust me to open up, they make the best customers. And I find this the same with men as well. Mm. Whereas women, there's a movement, right? There's a movement with women now where people are trying to become more financially resilient. It's very okay for women to stand up now and be counted and say, I don't know anything about money. I can just start, and they can start from ground zero and move up. Whereas I think sometimes men are like a bit more sheepish about it and go, actually, I don't really know, and I'm struggling too. Mm. I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah. No,
and they always say now that women make better investors than men, because women tend to work out what they're going to do and stick with it, whereas men tend to flit about a little bit more.
Okay, it's really interesting. I mean, it's I guess it comes as well with the emotion and the feelings that we, and the way we express and we process them, because they are very different when it comes to men and women. And as you say, perhaps for a man it's much more difficult to admit, oh, I'm struggling with money, because of what the pressure of society put on them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they reveal a different side. But on the other hand, even women, you know, there is a bit half-half. Half of the society will like you, okay, women, I don't worry, men, take care of everything. You stay at home, you're a good mom and good daughter, and that's it, and wife. And the other half is like, I want to be independent. I don't want to have anyone paying for me. So, and especially if I think about the new generation, younger women, the input that we receive is very strong on this side as well. So I think there is a lot of pressure as well on the point of like, oh my God, I need to be more financially independent, financial savvy. Like, I don't know anything about savings, retirement. Do I need to invest? What do I need to do? So both gender, I think they are experiencing pressure in different ways. Yeah. And but it comes to the mostly to what culture and society dictate for us, you know, rather than
definitely. But I would say, and I know obviously this is the area that I'm in, so I see all the stuff around me, but if one is interested in being better with money, there is oodles of help out there. I think the most interesting question for people to ask themselves is, am I interested in being better with money? And then to actually listen to the answer and be interested in that answer, because many people will say, oh no, I'm always going to be terrible with money. I'm always going to be, I don't like money. Those are the people that I think are really interesting to talk to. And those are the people that I particularly like turning around.
Interesting. And I have a
cheeky question. If they want to be turned around, by the way.
If they want to, of course.
Yeah, because... And they're prepared to do the work.
Exactly, because as we say, it's a lot of unconscious, thoughts and bias we have in our mind. It's not that easy to come out of a habit that you had for like 30, 40 years in your life. So definitely, well, it must be a great and interesting challenge for you though, anyway, you know, when you finally manage to see that person turn around and be like, okay.
For sure.
And have a bit of a cheeky question here.
Come on.
Is there a recipe to becoming a millionaire?
Yeah, of course. So the recipe, you can do it one of two ways. You can either do it just like I did and just hoard money and just collect money and do it through fear, or I would recommend doing it through the financial adventure. So the financial adventure is not complicated. So on any adventure, you need four things. You're going to need a map, you're going to need a compass, you're going to need a destination, and you're going to need to be fit and motivated and to want to go, right? Knowing that it's going to be a challenge.
Mm.
Right. So your map is going to be what I call my word for a budget. So we map your money out and we map it out to build for the future. So it's not just looking at what you spent last month and then thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's actually going through and looking at things together. So working out, so you want to be a millionaire, right? So you've got to figure, on the table. There are all sorts of other questions that go along with the millionaire dumb. Do you want to have a millionaire income, a million income? What does being a millionaire mean? Does it mean having a £500,000 house that you've got a £350,000 mortgage on? No, it means, you know, it's about building up a balanced portfolio of investments and assets that are going to be able to keep you, sustain you with an income later. So that needs quantifying and clarifying. That's really, really important. Okay. Then we create our map in order to get to that destination. So we build it in. And that's going to mean a challenge in the fact that you might need to earn more. You might need to learn more. You might need to sacrifice certain parts of your life. Like, for instance, you might have to forego the 18 Domino's pizzas you have every month or whatever, and you might not be able to get the Uber and have to catch the night bus. You know, there are certain sacrifices that the chances are you will have to make. Your compass is then important. So you've got your map and you've got your destination. Absolutely no point whatsoever having a map and a destination if you're not going to make sure you stay on track. So therefore, work needs to be done every month to make sure that you are spending, saving, investing, doing what you said you wanted to do. And then we have the key, because all of that is actually easy. The big part is the motivation and how much you are prepared and ready to go. So it comes down to your relationship with money. And that's really the main part of the work. So, and the way I would do that is I would start with the money type quiz on my website, where you find out, because we need to know about our behavior and our feelings around money. We can't change something that we don't know what it is. So I find that the money types, which I learned about at the Money Coaching Institute, by the way, 8 different fictional characters based on archetype works, Jungian archetypes, really. They all behave, think and behave very differently when it comes to money. And we have all of those within us. Okay. Innocent, victim, warrior, martyr, fool, creator, artist, tyrant and magician. So we have all of them within us. And on your adventure, I'm going to give you a tour bus. I'm going to give you a really nice tour bus. And the money types are going to be the passengers. And then if we apply the quote from a writer called Ayn Rand, a lady, she said, money is simply a tool and it'll take you wherever you wish to go, but it will not replace you as the driver. My question is, which of the money types, what kind of behavior and beliefs and emotions and which money type is at the wheel of your bus? Where are you driving it to? And what we have to do is we have to get the warrior and the magician at the wheel. If you don't have the warrior and the magician in the wheel, the chances are you're driving it not in the right direction. In this country, in England, what tends to happen and what happens with a lot of people is they take the money type quiz and there aren't any active money types. So I describe it to them. I go, well, you know, on your tour bus, you actually haven't got anybody at the wheel. It's moving because your financial life can't stop. So your bus is moving, but you don't have anybody at the wheel. So where's it going to go? Oh, yeah. I said, you've sort of got a couple of the money types halfway down the bus. But what we need to do is we need to wake up your warrior and get your magician moving and get them to the wheel of the bus. And then when you've got those two at the wheel of the bus, there's no stopping you. So the formula is the adventure. Map, compass, destination, motivation, mindset, way we think. Get those 4 things straight, you're on to a winner.
Sounds like an amazing adventure.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan.
That's the plan, exactly. Yeah. And I want to ask you a couple of last questions. And sure. Let's start from the beginning. So your money mindset changed when you were very little, because of some circumstances with your family and et cetera. What would be two or three top tips you would give to young girls and young women when it comes to starting a relationship with money?
Well, that's a great question. So I have two young daughters, 17 and 20, 17 and 21. So perfect age. I think the thing, first of all, is to have the open question is, how do you feel about money? And really think about your answer. The thing is to know that if you don't feel that you have a great relationship with money right now, it's not your fault. It really isn't your fault. So be kind to yourself. And if you're going to sleep at night thinking, oh my God, I'm really worried about money, I'm rubbish with money, that isn't going to help you anywhere. You're not going to move forward with that. I understand that that's what you might feel, but you can do something about it. But it's going to be the same for you, like wanting to achieve anything else. If you want to run a marathon, you're going to have to train. If you want to lose weight, gain weight, whatever, you're going to have to work out what you need to do in order to do that and stick to it. The same with money. You can look at your relationship with money going backwards. You can look at your money story, like what was money like when you were growing up, etc. You can't change that, but you can change it going forward. And it takes action, you know, which is the warrior money type, right? And so it takes action. So it takes really digging into yourself. It's joining the personal development movement, really, you know, because it's so ingrained in us, so ingrained. There are a whole suite of questions that, you know, that you can ask yourself. I've actually got some examples here, right here in front of me, actually, which are easy. Like, think about, take the money type quiz and see which money type you identify with. Think about your feelings around being a giver and a receiver when it comes to money, presents, gifts, compliments, right? Because it's not just all about money. Are you one of those people that when somebody says, oh, you do look lovely today, oh, I don't know how, I haven't put any makeup, how do you accept compliments? Because that is all, again, about exchange, right? It's about the exchange. Everything comes down to that exchange. So think about it. Think about, have you got a history of making good financial decisions? What did you do with your pocket money? What did you do with your first wages? How do you, are you getting to the end of the month and all your wages are gone as a young lady, young man? You know, how is it going? Are you actively thinking, consciously thinking how you spend your money? I would also say, what's your self-trust like? How do you trust yourself generally? Do you trust yourself to make good decisions and be the guardian of you? How does that look and how does that feel? Think about how you value yourself. Are you worthy? Do you value what you give to the world and who you are? Because this is another thing that I'm seeing is that we're in a almost diseased nation of lack of self-belief, low self-worth, low self-esteem. It's almost a plague, and we need to get over that too. So that's what I'd say. I would say question and learn, and just keep going. And every day's a school day. And be curious and allow yourselves to make mistakes.
That's very interesting. Thank you very much. And what about business owners and entrepreneurs? Because there is some other circumstances in the game here when it comes to those kind of, and we're talking about women again, because, you know, WomPower is all about empowering women to bring out their stories and, you know, find examples they can relate to. So what would be the advice for them?
So having been one myself, right? And I did it later in life. So I didn't have my own business until I was sort of around 50, which just started bringing me into the menopause, right? Let's take this into, because some of the women that you may have in your group are going to be of all ages. If you're an entrepreneur, you need to think about your how you look after your personal finances. Is that carried through into your business? It's a really important question. Some people will say, oh my God, yeah, it is. Other people will say, I'm brilliant with my business finances, but I'm not good with my personal finances. It's really a good idea to get to the bottom of that. And that if it's okay, you know, if you're running your business and you feel really happy in the business environment, but when it comes to your own personal finances, not somewhere down the line, there's going to be a crack. Because the money that you're earning from your business, if you've got a great big hole in your own personal income bucket, it's never going to sustain itself. And you're just going to be working harder and harder and harder and harder and harder in order to get more money and all of that kind of balance. I also am a certified business archetype coach. I'm not going to go into it yet, but there are actually 10 business archetypes as well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to money, if you generally think about the exchange again, so how comfortable are you pricing your products and services? How comfortable are you charging the right amount of money? Are you overcharging and are you over-delivering and undercharging? Or are you overcharging and under-delivering? It's just finding that balance. So whether you are like a supreme magician, which is the money type, or a master or an entrepreneur in business, those are the ones that have got the balance. But having your identity of who you are in business and your identity of who you are in personal, they're going to run into each other at some point because you are who you are. And if you're running your business authentically and from the heart, then you're going to be you.
Exactly.
And I learned that very much to my detriment, because when I was working, you know, I'm going to say employed because it was easy to say employed. I wasn't actually employed. But when I decided to branch out on my own, I'd been working for 13 years for, you know, a company. And so wherever I was, hello, my name is Fanny Snaith. I'm from the Empowerment Company, or that's what it was called. And then all of a sudden, in September 2015, I was a trained money coach. I've been very good with money. I had millionaire status, whatever that means. And yet I was sitting here, like many other entrepreneurs, going, oh my God, I've now got to sit here and go, hello, my name's Fanny Snaith and I'm a certified money coach and I can help you with my money. And all sorts of self-doubt and worry and all that kind of thing came in for me. And it's hard. We have to get through this. And this happens. I see it happening to a lot of people. So there again, it's bringing up the exchange, how you're prepared, how you can value your exchange. Not very experienced, maybe I'm not very good, maybe I don't need to charge, maybe I should do some work for free, maybe I should do, you know, all those kind of stuff.
I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I am also full-time employed, so I still live this, you know, double life, and I know that it can be quite challenging, you know, to also identify the line between the two, because it's always you, but obviously one thing is working for yourself and one thing is working for others, and, you know, managing your own money and finances and working for another company and just get a salary at the end of the month. So it's really interesting what you just share with us.
Well, if you think about it, when you get your salary at the end of the month, it's fascinating, right? Because your first question is why do people, you know, why don't people talk about money, etc.? Why do people find it hard? If you think about it, in an employee's world, of which so many people are, and if I go back 30 years, there were far more employees than there were sort of self-employed people. You know, it's easy, right? Everything's done quietly. You get a little piece of paper put on your desk, or, you know, as an email or whatever, just put on your desk or sent through the post, which is your pay slip. The money goes into your bank account without any conversation at all. And then it's all your stuff to basically work out how you're going to manage that money in that month. No, nobody, it's never, you know, it's, or what the best you're going to get is everybody go to the pub on payday. Yeah. And because everybody's free and everybody's happy because everybody knows they've got paid. And so they can all breathe that day and everybody's equal. I've had people say to me in the past, they said, do you know what, Fanny? The easiest time of my life was when I was skint as a student, because everybody was the same. Everybody was in the same boat. Nobody really wanted to splash the cash. We all were allowed to be living on a shoestring. It was all fine. You know, we were all filling up our water bottles with vodka before we went to the pub and all that. And we all knew about it and it was all fun. And actually, it was the easiest time of my life, even though I was broke.
True.
You know?
Very true. One last question for you, and I normally ask this to every guest on my podcast, is to share an advice. Anything that maybe we haven't covered yet for all the women and the younger that are listening to us today?
I would say that for all of you out there, when it comes to money, if you are challenged by exchange, which is what we were talking about with problems of money, allow it. And embrace it rather than running away from it. And just know, the way I see the world is that if you think of the world as a huge, great television screen, and a television screen is made up of pixels, thousands and thousands of pixels, and every single person on this planet has their own pixel space. And what we need you to do to keep everything going is to shine your pixel light as bright as you possibly can. And the one way to dull it is to feel oppressed, suppressed, miserable about money. So take the bull by the horns, as we say in England, and decide that you're going to take action and find some help out there if you need it.
Thank you. Thank you again for sharing this this advice with all of us. And if our followers and audience would like to get in touch with you, how they can do that?
Well, the easiest way, I mean, with a name like Fanny Snaith, I'm not that difficult to find. So it's Fanny, and my surname is Snaith. They can go to my website where they'll find the money type quiz, and you know, you can, I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, all those kind of places. And I'm, if anybody wants to do the money type quiz, I'm always happy to have a free 30-minute conversation about the results afterwards.
Well, Fanny, thank you very much for being here today and share your wisdom, share your experience and your story. And I hope to see you again on another podcast or another event of WomPower.
So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
If this was your first time listening to WomPower podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at WomPower UK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting WomPower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for WomPower Podcast. Until next time.